Welcome to the With the Will podcast, where to entertain, form it while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and if you hear any explosions in the background, that's because I live in Philly.
What is how is Philadelphia doing? I know, it's just funnier to ask. I believe last I looked about 10 minutes ago, it was a blowout.
Pretty much. There are constant gunshots and
so you have
firecrackers and fireworks going off at all times.
So you have to survive the riots from when your team wins in the next few minutes.
Yes. It's like either way, the city's getting burned down.
Yeah.
Just accept that.
It has been a long few weeks. We're here a day early because I have other stuff to do tomorrow. And then, Dev, how did you like the newest Liberator?
It was entertaining.
That's kind of where it fell for me. Like, the art, again, maybe the best we've gotten. Some great stuff with Violet. This one has less storytelling. It's more of the card stuff, which I believe the main gist of it is supposed to be shocking because stuff that isn't possible and or new mechanics. I know some of it's new mechanics, but I believe some of it is just this isn't actually possible.
It's like, hey, you're changing the cards right in the middle of the fucking match. You cheating bastard. The AI is a cheating bastard.
I will say, the one weird thing, they go like, I wonder if that NPC is being controlled by a Digimon. And no one goes, could it be that Wormmon that's standing on his shoulder?
That's just like chittering there ominously.
Yeah. And we get the poor Violet. She was doing so well. And then she starts doing it looks like I lost. I can't do this. Shoto and Terramon come flying with the big hero entrance. And the best part of the hero entrance wasn't them. It was that Violet all of a sudden stops her speech and starts acting like it's a normal day. Like, she's like, oh, technically I didn't lose because they've taken over the match.
She is correct.
Yeah. I mean, I found it fine. It's the play the card game parts are never the biggest for me. And there was a lot of that here.
But at least it looked really cool.
Yes, I will give it that. The art was... The one thing I don't think anyone can complain with Liberators, the art just keeps getting better and better. It just...
Honestly, I just fucking love little angry Wormmon.
No, so, and then for the column, it's battle coverage of the match, which...
I browsed through it, and then I lost interest.
It's not my type of thing just because I don't play the card game. I like that they do these, though.
Yeah, because it says, like, hey, the things you're seeing on the screen are actually... viable strategies in the card game, which we are teaching you to, you know, play.
As long as you ignore the magical changing cards.
Coming out in the next set.
Yes. And then moving on from Liberator, it's Terriermon.
I did not get a chance to watch these, but I went through them and they were fucking adorable.
So the first one is Terasuki learns the history of Digimon cards. It's going over a bunch of Digimon cards, including some of the adventure cards they did before the card game started. And the cards are from the collection of a staff member who's been collecting Digimon cards for over 20 years. Go over them. They even do an unopened pack from one of the card-ass sets.
It's very cool.
And when they unpack it, you'll be shocked at who they actually find. I won't spoil it for anyone,
yes,
but...
Me, that's you!
I won't spoil it, but Terriermon's very excited. And then, this was the fun one, they go back to playing games, like they did for Digimon Racing. They play Battle Chronicle or Rumble Arena 2. I forgot this did not have a team battle mode in it.
Yeah, wasn't it just like one-on-one or something like that?
One-on-one. So they do a 2v2 with Terriermon playing with another staff member, but they have to point out that is an unofficial game type, and there is not a way to turn off friendly attack in that mode.
So they're basically just playing Smash Brothers.
Well, that's basically what the game is. It's Digimon Smash Brothers, but not quite as good. And see, I can say that because I was embarrassing enough that I pre-ordered the Japanese version to get it sooner.
I didn't play it until much later because I couldn't find a fucking copy of the game for years because no one was carrying it.
I had pre-ordered the Japanese GameCube version.
To be fair, the Japanese cover looks absolutely fucking badass.
Yeah, I played it enough. I didn't play it as much as those GameCube Naruto fighting games, which were very solid for what they were. But I played plenty of
those. Those were fun and enjoyable.
I forgot the
Rumble of the Two Battle Chronicles kind of. It handles kind of goopy, if that makes sense.
Oh, Rumble Arena 2 does. It's very goopy.
Yeah.
Rust in the chat, wasn't the GameCube region locked? It was. I believe I had, was it the Action Replay?
Yeah, because that you could use that to get around the region
lock. You have to understand, I've been importing shit since the 90s, so most of the systems I've had, I had stuff to get around region locking when possible. I'm trying to think what was the first system that I didn't do that on. It was the original Xbox 360 / PS3, somewhere around there. Somewhere around there, they stopped region locking games. I don't remember where, though. But yeah, PS1 and GameCube especially, it was pretty easy to import games for them. But yeah, so the Terramod videos are just always fun. And then, talking about games, so Dev, have you kept abreast of the GOG news?
Unfortunately. Slightly.
We have a quote from AR, which we'll get to shortly. So, for people who don't know, a couple weeks ago, GOG updated their community wishlist feature. That is where people could request games or features be added to GOG, which is a game service akin to Steam for PC. And at the same time, they released some PS1 games on GOG. We'll get back to that in a minute or two. Dev already knows what I'm going to say about that because she's heard it before. We'll get
many, many times.
So at the same time, a bunch of people who had PS1 games they wanted ported to PC decided to swarm, especially Digimon fans with Digimon World. The problem is, a lot of the people swarming don't actually use GOG, know what it is, and are very upset when you point it out to them what it is.
Yeah, it's like, this doesn't work how you think it does.
Yeah. So the first thing to say is voting for it, good, because it can show demand. Although with Digimon World, there's an oddity in showing demand, is a couple of years ago, Habu actually said they were actually already knew people wanted Digimon World, and at the moment, the holdup was actually him, which was him deciding which way for them to go between do a quick port, do a remaster with some new stuff, or just remake the game. It wasn't that they weren't, it was a matter of when and how. As for if that ever happened, and of course he's gone now, who knows? And of course, Digimon fans swarm because a lot of people either who don't get it or who do get it and are being purposely slightly dishonest, like, GOG's going to port the game. They're going to do a native PyEN port. And it's like, GOG doesn't do that. We'll go over what they do
like,
in a moment.
Sorry.
Yeah. And then it went into overdrive when GOG went, wow, all these people want Digimon World. They wrote a letter about it, which they posted. Blah, and if you read the letter, a lot of people went, we won, which is an odd reaction when you actually read the letters because they don't actually say anything. Like, I mean, Dev, you've read the two versions of it, right?
It's like, congrats. Hey, we're glad you're showing interest in the thing. Go Digimon.
Well, here's the thing. You have to remember, to vote, you have to sign up for their store. So this is basically, this is free advertising for them. So AR actually read everything. And when I was like, AR, do you have anything you want said on your behalf since you won't be there? He said, that's a really wordy pat on the head. So GOG doesn't port PlayStation games to PC. There are companies that do in different ways, either by emulation, by decompiling, by rebuilding the game. That does happen. Bandai already
that
knows
is not
people.
Their service, though.
Bandai already knows that people want the game. They've told us. So then the question becomes, let's say it's not remake. How do you get Digimon World on PC? There are functionally two choices, and since someone asked, yes, they do not have the original source code. That's not necessarily needed. It can help, but the original source code for the game is gone. So for PS1, you could emulate the game, you could put it in an emulation wrapper and decompile it and rebuild it, which has been done for some games. And that is a way you could do it. GOG doesn't do porting by emulation. And that saying that's confused a few people because they very clearly have the original Resident Evil 3 Resident Evils and that they launched at the same time the first two Dino Crisis games. And those are clearly PS1 games on PC that have not been available. I mean, Dev, are you familiar with Dino Crisis or not really?
I know what it is, but I've never played it, and I don't really
care. For someone who isn't familiar, it's from Capcom, it's Resident Evil, but instead of zombies, it is dinosaurs.
Pew pew!
Yeah. So the reason that the three Resident Evil games and the two Dino Crisis are there is they actually had old PC ports. Like from circa 2000-ish. GOG has staff and they're basically doing compatibility updates and fixing stuff up so they are more akin to a modern port. Very nice.
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of old PC games where it's just like, oh, can't play it now because this only ran Windows 95. Go fuck yourself.
Basically, yeah, it's they added proper modern controller support. I believe both of them, they had it so the games could render at higher resolutions. Very nice. So the other option would be to do that with Digimon World because there actually is a PC port in Korea. There's a few oddities there. One, we don't know who actually owns the PC port's code and the distribution rights to it. It may not be Bandai. Licensing Japanese up to Korea at the time was slightly different. And having spoken to people who play the Korean game, the mechanics and stuff work differently than the PS1. You'd have to change a lot to make it work.
I just heard it was buggy as hell.
Yes, but I've heard there are actual mechanic differences, talking to people who play it. And two, there is no English version of that game. And as far as I can tell, GOG has never translated to English their stuff. They've done some, early on, they did some Polish translations for distribution. They don't really seem to do that anymore. Voting still is a way to show support. It's just being aware what is. The weird thing, though, is when I wrote all this up, a few people got very upset about it, about how negative the write-up is, and they don't notice in the write-up when I actually point out, I would actually expect Bandai to do like a trilogy set on Steam.
And I would, you know, pay for that, because I would like to play all those three games without having to haul out the PS1.
Yeah, that's the thing is my whole thing isn't that, oh, this is never happening. It's that I don't think it's happening on GOG. First of all, Bandai doesn't work with GOG. The only Bandai stuff on GOG is Little Nightmares, which I believe was a pre-existing arrangement from when that game was franchise was independently owned. Frankly, I think the biggest thing that's going to decide what Bandai decides to do is not the petition. I think it's the Konami Yu-Gi-Oh! Ports that are coming out soon.
Forgot about those.
Yeah. Did you actually see what's being done for that?
Not at all, just...
Okay, so it's being done by...
Yeah, it existed.
Okay, so one second. Let me pull that up so I can make sure I get one detail right. Okay. It's actually being done by Digital Eclipse, who specializes in this sort of thing. Frankly, I think Digital Eclipse doing it would be a much better solution than just GOG trying to force a port into existence. So a lot of the best collections are Digital Eclipse. It includes 14 of the Game Boy Yu-Gi-Oh! Games, many with new translations. There's scans of, you know, manuals and all that stuff. It is a... I think this is the type of thing where people are going to look to see if this type of retro Japanese collectathon works outside of Japan. There's a lot of franchises that this type of thing I think would probably work for. This is one of the first times we're getting one in English. Like, you know how many collections in Japan there have been for Metabots?
I expect quite a few with how much random Metabot shit there was.
Yeah. But yeah. It's not that I don't think it's happening. I just don't think it's, hey, single ratty PC conversion of a Korean PC port to GOG. I would expect something a bit nicer. And frankly, I would hope for something a bit nicer. Because it's
and
actually...
And also a split port, please, because I would like that as well.
Yeah, that too. So we will see what happens. But before we move on from there, Dev, I thought you'd like to know some of the stuff on the GOG list currently. Would you like to know what the top vote-getters are, or the things GOG has put on a GOG's pick list?
Which one's more horrifying?
The top vote-getters is funnier.
We'll go for that one.
Okay, so Black and White, which well-known PC game. which I don't think it's available anymore. I'm not sure, though. I haven't looked. The next one, Command & Conquer The Ultimate Collection.
What?
It is a collection of various Command & Conquer games. Now, that may seem surprising that it's there, because, remember, this is for people wanted on GOG. It's not that it's not on PC. That's available on PC. You can buy that.
Then what?
Remember, GOG is a storefront. This is for stuff to appear on GOG. It's not to appear on PC. Then after that is Black and White 2, which, fine, makes sense. Then Freelancer, which it was kind of like a unbranded follow-up to Wing Commander from the same creator. I don't think it sold that well. Then The Operative No One
Lives Forever. I've never even heard of that one.
It didn't do it. So The Operative No One Lives Forever is kind of a famous one because Night Dive tried to do it, and the rights are so tied up that no one actually is sure who owns the rights. Then Diablo 2.
I thought that was already on PC.
It is. And then Max Payne. Then Silent Hill 2, which just got a remake. And then everyone's favorite game, Final Fantasy VII.
Yes, I'm. This is
now. You do know what the fun. You know what the funny part about Final Fantasy VII is, don't you?
Because it already has ports into Oblivion.
No, it's funny. All the modern ports are based on an old PC port, because it was easier to upgrade that port than to get the PS1 game working on other platforms. So that is functionally what some people actually want to happen for Digimon World. And that is, to be fair, that is a port that Square spent like a decade trying to polish to work. I believe when it originally went up for re-release, like in 2012, I think it had like MIDI music or something. But yeah. So I don't necessarily expect it on GOG. I would expect it to show up somewhere. I would hope it'd be better than whatever the bare bones. Here's the thing. I love GOG. I own many games on it. Sometimes I'm sad when a game shows up on GOG. Like Star Trek Elite Force. I was waiting for a re-release of that for years. I really hoped it'd be Night Dive or some other high-end porting studio. And it just ended up on GOG with some compatibility stuff, which, fine, it's nice. But I would like more for the Digimon games, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
And then next up. So we'll see where the stuff goes. Ironically, the last episode with AR, I think we said it makes sense to do a retro collection, but probably after a new game. Was that last time with AR, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, give a new game before you just, you know.
Well, not only that. You know, the funny part is that's exactly what they did. With how quickly Next Order was ready on PC and the Switch, they clearly had that going before Survive was out.
Yeah.
And then let us move on from GOG to everyone's favorite subject, fiscals. This is another time. There's not actually much to say. It is functionally the same as last time. Sales stuff's doing well. Overseas licensing of Digimon's doing very well. And that's about
Heck
it.
Yeah.
There's just not much to say on that subject, honestly. Next up.
Making the money, they're going to make more stuff for us to buy.
A number of Digimon stuff is gone from Hulu. At the moment, it appears... Did it ever actually vanish, or was it always within a day or so of vanishing, and then the vanishing notice disappeared?
Sometimes it was like a month for like one or two of the series. Like, okay. Some of them pop right back up, and others were like...
Okay, fair enough. The dub of 2020 is still there. Everything else is gone.
One of my friends actually just discovered the 2020 and has been binging that.
A lot of people seem to binge that on Hulu. Like, they discover that it's there and just, like, dive into it.
He's like, hey, you're on a Digimon podcast thing. Did they remake the original? And it's like, it's complicated.
But, yeah, it's...
Here's a Wikimon article.
Yeah. And then they told us a month... This was like... They told us when the Digimon fireworks thing, as part of the Odaiba Fireworks 2024 happened, that they had done a nice recording they put up, and they finally put up... It actually is a really nice recording of it. Like, it has all the pre- and post-show audio with Chika Sakamoto. There's different camera angles.
I have to check that out, because I just watched the one that I think, like, what was it, Kakudo uploaded?
Yeah. I still think anytime he does something with a camera, it's hilarious. But this recording is really good. Like, they do direct feed audio of Chika Sakamoto. Really solid watch. And then this is the CD. So the Digimon History 2015-2023, all the best. It was sold at the exhibition featuring the Try, Kizuna, and the Beginning music. And then a month or so ago, they're like, and we also have some CDs to sell online because we're reprinting them. And now they're actually doing a general release version that will have a new cover.
Nice.
We don't have an image of it yet, so I just put up the existing Try cover. It feels like they do a Kizuna or the Beginning cover now. Don't you think so?
I feel like Beginning.
See, I think based on how you do it, you could actually just do Kizuna and not say what it is. And it sort of just fits in for both.
As long as the art is pretty.
And then, Anime Japan news. They announced the guest for the Digimon Anime 25th Anniversary. So, Chika Sakamoto, who's Agumon, she's also Shoutmon. Mayumi Yamaguchi, who's Gabumon, was also Zhang Liang in Tamers. Junko Noda, who's Vmon, which always happy to see her. And then, Terrymon Assistant will somehow be there. Now, I'm trying to decide. There's three possibilities for how he's there. One, iPad screen. Two, audio phone call. Three, giant Terrymon mascot costume.
I hope it's a giant Terrymon mascot. Or they just go like straight up Vocaloid with the like the Miku concerts with the hologram. That might be a bit excessive.
It will be interesting to see. And then they announced just the other day that Hajime Siacho will also be there. In 2019, he was the biggest YouTuber in Japan. I don't know where that ranks now. He's also appeared in a few animes. So we will see. And we'll see what they do. Because they always announce something at these. It's not always the big things people want. Sometimes it's very tiny. But we will see.
Announcements are announcements.
Look, I'm just hoping it's a giant Terrymon assistant mascot. With having the coat and everything.
If not, I will make one myself.
And then the DigiGift for February. This was up immediately. And it's gorgeous art of Iori, Yako, and Joe. Although a lot of people are confused because while it's clearly O2, Joe's hair coloring is sort of in between O2 and Try. Because in O2...
The only thing I noticed is there was a kotatsu and I went to crawl underneath.
Because in O2, his hair is very blue. And this is really more gray.
But it is that haircut, though.
Yes. Oh, no, it's definitely that haircut. But that's definitely great art. I even like how the calendar is not quite as ugly as it is sometimes. And then
they're putting in effort.
So, cards, for me, weren't fun. Do you know why, Dev?
Why?
So, normally when they do cards, let's say there's going to be a new starter deck.
Oh, no.
So, when they do a new starter deck, it's like, okay, I know when they're going to do the update. A few minutes before, I can put together what I'm going to do. And then I just have to fill it in with, like, the new cards, what I'm going to say about it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So, they did that. Then, after they started doing the ones for the new starter decks, they started doing the ones for LMO5. Then they started Booster 21. So they're cycling through them in a way that does not always match up. So I kind of just have to sit there and wait.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is convoluted.
Yes. And especially remember, some of the stuff is not out for like 2.5 months. Now, to be fair, they were having a championship event in Japan, which is why some of the stuff is starting to be previewed early. So to Red Scramble and Blue Scramble for Starter Deck 20, because the Scramble cards are each getting unique reprints for the Starter Decks.
Fucking love the blue one.
Agumon there. Gomon's great. I will say, does Kamamon almost look too action-packed for him?
Usually he's very sleepy-looking, yeah. But he's gone. He's watched too much Ninja Turtles.
Then continuing on with Starter Deck 20, the Black and Purple Scrambles. A bit more low-key, but
Koki does such a good job.
Koki does... I love Koki when he's not doing the pudding version of his style. When he adds a little bit more texture like he is here. When he does the full pudding, we all kind of just go, it looks like it's melting. Yellow Scramble and Green Scramble. Tailmon looks great.
Very, very bright.
We'll come back to Yellow Scramble and Green Scramble in a bit because there was an oddity there, but not for the moment. Then Agumon... Great art. You can see Agumon in the background, and they're beating up on Higurumon.
Like, rest in peace, you little shits.
And moving on to starter 21, red scramble and blue scramble. Again, great. The blue one here is great. Vemon looks especially good.
There's so many pretty colors.
I know, they're doing solid jobs on these. Then yellow scramble and green scramble, which here we get Patamon, Palmon, and a bunch of others. I will say, I feel like Lopmon's there because Lopmon's often green in the card game. They're trying to,
he looks very green.
They're doing the light to, try to, cheat it as being green. So this one was interesting because when they originally posted this, the English account posted the wrong ones. But these are
reprints. They posted the Nelmon one?
Yes, but these are reprints. So they actually aren't labeled as to which starter they're at. So we did not know originally which account made the mistake.
That's funny.
Yeah, so at first it's like, we assume they aren't doing different ones, but because these aren't labeled as starter cards, we don't know which is which. But yeah, so that was solved pretty quickly. Then Star Deck 21 also gets black and purple scramble.
I love the purple scramble.
Same.
The
Devimon one is so good. Am I wrong? Or in the last year, have we gotten some really solid card art for Pico Devimon?
He's his own little star now.
But he's just gotten some really good ones.
He deserves it.
Yes, he does. Then also from Star Deck 21, Gabumon. Now, this is not a reverse camera of the other one. It's right before, right after, because they were not this close. But it is the same shot as from the Agumon card, which is a neat little trick.
Very fun.
And then moving on to Limited Card Pack 5, Final Illusion. This only has a handful of new cards, which are new art of existing cards. Otherwise, they are reprints with color borders. So Coromon with red border. Dukemon, Gallantmon gets new art, which very good art.
I love the lighting in this one.
So not just the lighting. I love the Street Fighter 4-esque ink scratches.
Yeah.
I remember that effect is coming up a lot in Street Fighter 4, so I know it's not from that, but it reminds me of it a lot. Patamon also gets new card, which a lot of children and babies. Can we give credit to how good that Tokomon looks? slightly flatter than normal.
It's kind of almost like a layered, paper cut kind of style.
Yes. Andromon Ace gets new card. Really good lighting in this one.
I fucking love this one.
This one, it's interesting because the actual, character art is very cartoony, but more subtle colors, and the lighting is just really good.
It's just, really soft.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning, because I forgot this. LMO5 is not in Japan. It's going to be, all the limited card sets, which is you basically buy boosters at specialized locations or online. For the English, it's going to be box toppers for Booster 21, but they're only doing the new art cards. The border cards, we don't know where they're coming yet. Okay. Yeah. Also new art, Analog Boy / Analog Youth. Just great art here.
It still feels awkward to call him Analog Youth. Why not just Analog Kid? That would have been less awkward sounding.
I think they just went with a more... I think it's just... Well, there's a lot of awkward translations in the card game. Was it Suzy, where it's Suichon Wong, where they kind of combined the name from Japan and the English name, even though Henry, they're just calling Henry.
Yeah, I don't know why they do these things.
And you know what my favorite thing about this card is? It's from the set that we hate the art from the most. EX1. Which, if I remember, isn't this the only card that had new art in that set minus parallel art?
I try not to remember that set.
This was the one that was just the profile. Here's the thing. The profile arts can look great on cards. It didn't do that. It just did those copy-pasted energy backgrounds.
Same background, yeah.
And then two more color border cards. We get Maeldramon and Magnemon. That Magnemon still looks fucking good.
He looks badass.
And then, Booster Set 21, 2.5 months early. We start with previews of Gatchmon, Haru, and Tai Chi / Tai. So Gatchmon we saw. We've seen Gatchmon. Haru and Tai,
I'm so happy to be here.
The tamer cards for the set, we get new anti-cell art of them, and profile silhouette line art of the Digimon partners, which looks great.
I really like this style.
You know what the weird thing, though, is that background design, it looks like the design from the Tri Blu-rays.
Yeah.
So art's great all around for those. And then they kept doing previews, so we got Metal Greymon, which this is the center. Go ahead.
This looks absolutely fucking amazing.
It is, especially beating up on the blue Metal Greymon.
Yes, I love, like, it shows the scale with, like, the skyscraper in the background.
Yeah. And what? And this was the centerpiece of the spread-out key art for the set, where they do the perfect level forms of all the hero Digimon. This is the centerpiece of that. And then Vemon eating ice cream.
Now I want ice cream. I can't go in the corner any.
This is like when the Vemon promo card of him eating ramen.
Oh, I remember that. That one also made me hungry.
Then Daisuke/Davis, which same style tamer card. I love that this one is a dual card, and the background does that also.
I like the red and blue. Oh, now I'm thinking of the Rocket Pops.
You know, I remember those. I can't remember if I've ever had them, because I always preferred, like, chocolate or orange or that artificial cherry flavor.
It depends on what the ice cream truck had. Like, usually I'd go for, like, the cookies and cream ice cream cups.
So I did similar. I looked at it very pragmatically and went, what's the best ice cream density? I don't need the character pop. I get the, I believe out here there are Carnation brands, the big cups.
I think I know which one you're talking about. It almost looks kind of like, has like the little wooden spoon taped to the underside of the cup.
Yeah, but not like the small cups like you'd get at a party, but like it was like two or three times the size of that.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah,
those are what I would get when possible, because more ice cream. Jumping back to Booster 20, we have the clean parallel cards for that, another look at the promo poster, and a printable token for Jessmon. I like that the printable tokens aren't shit quality anymore. Was it Trinity Burst?
That was like a grainy JPEG fucking mess?
Where I think I wrote in the thing, I'm not even trying to fix this one because it's not possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, so bye-bye to Booster 20. And then even more, they just because there was an event, we got a deluge of card shit. So the Booster 21 launch events for Japanese and English Imperial Digimon Paladin Mode Ace as parallel cards. Do you remember the special thing they announced for this dev?
For the card specifically or the set as a whole?
This card specifically.
No.
If you look at the card, do you notice anything?
Three different...
Look on the right side.
Oh, no. It's Vikemon's,
They announced that it was actually going to be one piece of art for launch events for Booster 21, 22, 23, and 24. And here's the thing. There's two versions of the cards, so you get the whole thing whether you win an event or not, which is neat. There will also be release events for the new starters. These are the, you can show up, they will give you decks to play with if you don't have anything. You get the Welcome Tamer pack, which is appears to be nicer versions of cards from the same starter decks for the event. And if you kidnap and bring a friend with you, they give you a second one for you. So if you bring a friend and when you show up, you're like, I brought this person against their will. They not only get one and you not only get one, you get a second one.
One of my coworkers will take a bribe of Girl Scout cookies to come with me so I can acquire more cards. Assuming there is a place near me that is having them.
I think the site's up. I don't know if the location thing's up. Then prize cards for the Cycle to Japan finals. I think we've seen these before. I remember these, but I couldn't remember if they had been posted or not, so I just threw them up anyways. The Vemon family ones. I feel like we have, though, haven't we?
I mean, they look kind of familiar, but it feels like the colors are different, maybe?
There was a different version that had Japanese text, and they were gold cards with black outlines.
Okay, that might be what I'm thinking of.
And then Next month at the Japan finals for the Bandai Card Game Fest, various members of the Digimon card family will be there participating in the various events along with their normal promotional stuff. In fact, it looks like it's everyone except for a Y, I believe, going by the photo.
Eight.
I keep looking at Chiba in that picture. He's going to a lot of effort for a cool pose.
He's trying so hard.
Yes. Card battle, we got a booster set 20 match. And then they went back to Digimon Card Room with a new set, and it's a quiz for the recent release booster set 20. And then, Dev, are you ready for products? So first up, Digimon Adventure keychains that will be in 300 yen gashapon machines.
Look, these look like they should be in those little blind bags with the Goomba Agumon, like those kinds.
To be fair, if these were U.S. releases, that's what that would be. Functionally the same thing, it's just you get them in a gashapon capsule instead of the bag.
I want them. Please give me a U.S. release.
So these are coming out between the 16th and the 22nd. They will start being stocked in gashapon machines.
Damn it, that's after my convention.
And then, if you wanted any of the Wada Koji tribute concert products, those are being sold online. And they have everything, including all those CDs they reprinted for the event.
I will take a look.
It's always hard to think about events like this because it's like, oh, neat, there's stuff to buy. It's like, it's also products themed around a dead person, which feels a bit weird.
Yeah, it's like you're profiting off of someone's memorial.
With a muffler towel.
I'm sure he would have enjoyed the towel.
All joking aside, Wada Koji was always up for doing the promotional stuff that being affiliated with a known brand. In fact, one of the most notable concerts, do you remember when they did the 15th anniversary event, which is actually where they announced Try in the first Digimon Blu-rays? And do you remember him singing there?
Yeah, we were surprised he was able to do it.
Yeah, that was after he had beat cancer twice, and you could definitely tell at times he was getting winded, but not, like, willing. Do you remember what he was wearing?
Not at all. I don't even remember what I ate yesterday.
Do you remember, like, that $300 Beelzebubon leather jacket they sold for a while?
Oh, yeah, the one I was lusting after. But yeah. I was like,
he was wearing that, and that was when it went up for pre-order. Yeah. So, yeah. So those are up for pre-order. Well, not pre-order, but sales. And I... shipping date is... don't know. Might be shipping now. The only thing they are not selling online is the ticket-themed keychain. And then Annabirth stuff.
Exclusive to the event?
It's Wave 3. I think because the idea was you would buy that and you would immediately put your ticket in it for safekeeping.
Ah, okay.
Okay, then Annabirth has Volume 3 of the Digimon Street products. And these ones actually look neat.
I really want the acrylic stands.
The stands or the acrylic shikishis?
Just the stand, honestly.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because the acrylic shikishi is a neat little product, but I don't know if I'd want it next to an acrylic stand. And then they announced that Annabirth Shibuya has closed. The only one left now is Annabirth Shinsaibashi.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Well, here's the thing. I think there were only ever two Annabirth stores. Then they were both converted from LB pop-up theaters. Annabirth Shibuya was actually the original LB pop-up theater. It was the first one of the ones they did with the attached theater for the memorial shorts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was not one of the original limited base shops. It was just one of the theater ones, but yeah. And I believe that's why that location specifically was so large, was because that was one where the theater was actually properly attached to it. And not just... oh, if you walk a block down inside, there's a room. So those are on sale now, and that today is actually when they show up at the online partner shop. And then here's something I love when something like this pops up and it takes people by surprise. A wave of Digimon Adventure products that are showing up in 100 yen shops, the equivalent of a Dollar Tree, a 99-cent store is gone, so that doesn't exist, but a Dollar Tree, just dollar stores in general. Yeah. So,
oh, so fucking cute. Yeah.
So 100 yen shops in Japan nowadays do kind of like the Five Below thing where their products at 110, $330, $550, $770. And there are more expensive stuff, but not for this wave of products. So for 110, I'm just going to run through them. Dev, if you need to stop me, okay? For 110 yen, A4 clear holder, four types, two types of memo pads, eight stickers, two types of sticky notes, two types of clear seals with various stickers in it, petite stickers, two types with various stickers in it, two mini handkerchiefs. The handkerchiefs actually look nice. Three types of acrylic.
Everything from this line looks really good.
I know. My concern is how the actual products look, to be fair. Because, like, the acrylic carabiners. When you look at a $110 carabiner, it's made out of acrylic. I have some concerns. I would hope.
Yeah, that's not being actually used.
Yes. Here's the thing. That's good for, like, if you need a decoration on a bag. Or a backpack.
Yeah.
I desperately hope no one is using that as, like, a load-bearing carabiner. And then acrylic stands.
I saw photos of these before this was announced. And God, they're so fucking cute. I want all the kitty ones.
And then the products keep going. So more 110 yen, can badges, nine type, blind pack is a secret one. Acrylic badges, same deal. Acrylic keychain, same deal. Acrylic charms, same deal. And then the neat one, the interlocking acrylic keychains, which each one comes with two parts, and they actually look really nice. And there's that also glitter finish, and that's 330 yen for each one. And then we go up to some of the more pricey stuff. For 550 yen, acrylic diorama stand, a tote bag with a hidden inner pocket. What may be like some of the most freak out I've seen is the 770 yen stuffed keychains.
Look, they're perfect.
And then this is one that I saw a lot of people want, the 550 yen Agumon and Patamon smartphone stands.
They look kind of goofy, but I kind of want one.
They look goofy. My concern is more, I like the stands where if you wanted to, you could watch stuff.
Yeah, but his head's kind of like blocking the bottom quarter of it.
Yeah, so these are showing up at various 100 yen shops now. The art, we didn't even talk about the art that they showed off for him. The art is so nice. It's this weird sort of not quite chibi style, very cutesy.
It's almost graph art.
Yes. You know what it reminds me of? That the Atmon Detective Store, where the second theme isn't graph art. It's that retro pop art that everyone kind of looked at and went, it kind of looks like graph art a little bit, but not really. And
it
then,
has that vibe.
Favorite Digimon add to the reference book in 2024, part one. To no one's surprise, it was Sendrilmon.
Waifu wins.
The funniest part is if you look at the Shumon family, the Liberator Impmon family, and the Terramon family that are in here, and like, you know, multiple levels for each, which kind of cannibalize the votes partially. If you just combine those, it's 2/3 of the vote. So not a wild surprise. I'm trying to think, is there any real shock here?
I mean, like the top four or five are kind of what I guessed.
Yeah.
I think the
funny thing is, I think what happened, even what we said was going to happen, which was a lot of the Terramon levels actually got decent votes, which kind of cannibalized its chance of being first or second. Because, like, if you look, Shumon and Shushumon both didn't perform that well. But if you look, like, Terramon did well, then you get Zafagamon. Although I will say, Shaperomon really got some points there.
It's a really cool, fun design. And you can only vote for one, so.
Yeah. And poor Takutomon Rathamode, no one cared.
No. I can't even remember what the fuck he looks like without looking at it.
I want to say the non-Wrath mode, that was one where he was holding like the little pagoda, wasn't it?
So generic, I don't even remember. Drawing a blank.
And then, time for the potpourri. So, Aimee Miyazaki posted a photo from rehearsals for his last show of his 25th anniversary tour. Nice little photo. The Wada Koji tribute concert Twitter posted a few days before Wada Koji's birthday. Butterfly actually made it to 13th on the iTunes anime charts. Which odd timing. I assume it showed up on a panel show or something in Japan, because on his birthday would have made sense. A few days before is kind of confusing. We'll see. The Digimon music producer had found the gacha machine selling the A4 movie reproductions that came out recently, and he did it a few times and showed off what he got. He got Diablomon Strikes Back, the Revival of Ancient Digimon, and O2 the Beginning. Yeah. Let's see. Toei Museum showing off the Street Volume 3 photos. It looks like with there only being one Annabra shop now, there is no longer a holdback on the Toei Museum getting products.
That's one nice thing.
Yeah, especially since a lot of fans visit that store. So that makes it a positive. Annabirth showed up various, you know, the Digimon Corner at Shin Saibashi with the new products. That is stuff in the, I believe the official name is the Permanent Corner, where various brands get pseudo-permanent stuff there for Digimon. I always forget the name. Miraculous Ladybug?
Miraculous Ladybug is very popular.
No, I mean, is that the correct name?
Yep.
Okay, good. Then Volcano Oda put up art for Wada Koji's birthday. It's Volcamon and the Digimon he designed after Wada Koji, who at times it's been... The problem is his name can be translated a few ways, so this time it's translated as Cozy Angemon rather than Koji Angemon.
That's funny. He is very cozy in that coat and hat.
The problem with Volcano Oda, you always forget that he's an artist.
Yep, he's not just the hype guy.
Then we get some card-themed social art of Yuki playing her fan base and beating them. Then Tomo wanted art of Violet for the chapter segment. And then Usagi Bochi did art of Sam the Clown, and then an image of Violet. And then we got February. The art for February features a number of well-known Digimon. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is actually an homage to the promo poster for number one Sentai Goes Ruger, the newest Sentai series, which is starting, recently started or about to, I forget which. Everyone is posed like that poster.
You will have to show me that.
I will show you after the show when I actually look up the image. But yeah, the poses are very... Actually, I guess let me grab it now so the chat can see it also.
Convenient.
See if I can find it here. Ah, here it is. One second. This is one. I can tell this is one of those that it's not going to send to the chat, so give me a minute to find it for them.
I can okay, yes, I can see that.
Yeah, I can tell this is one of the ones that is going to... Like, it crashes out when I give it to them. One second while I find it for you, chat. It is the right image here. I think this is the right one, yeah. Okay, chat, let me know if that works. It's just the right part of the image. The one that I sent to you, Dev, it's one of those links that the YouTube link parser breaks on. And I could tell. So anytime I link it to them, the chat's like, the link doesn't work, the link doesn't work. Go find another one, please. Okay, they say it works. Yeah. So yeah, so if you look at the five heroes, they're all posed in the same pose, basically. Although in SD, it's sometimes harder to tell. I think
that's a good catch.
Yellow and red are the easiest ones to notice, I think.
And here I thought they were just jumping around randomly.
To be fair, you could argue they are doing that, but yeah. Let's see. And then moving on to week two, Potpourri. An update on the cassette project. It is now to past 1,000% of their stated goal.
I did not expect it to go quite that far, but I'm happy for them.
Oh, it's very far. Shockingly so. And then they Diver City put up a little video showing the Digimon decorations that ends in a couple days on the 11th. I actually love just how much stuff there was, like, for all the anime TV shows and everything. It really is nice. Let's see. Next up is... some of the pop-up shop type things. So first up, it is... Ghost Game pop-up shop started at EO. They showed off a number of little products and things there.
Again, very cute.
Toei Museum showed off recent Digimon products they got in stock. Plus, they put up... they have new takeaway flyers for the that hotel collaboration that they're doing. Which, God, that's...
Yeah, wasn't that a while back?
I think that's going to run till May or June. Because it was going to run for like a year. So I think it's like half over or around then at the moment.
Yeah, until I looked at the notes, like, I completely forgot that thing existed.
To be fair, there wasn't much about it to talk about, so it hasn't popped back up. Like, once we got photos of everything, it's kind of like, okay, there's nothing, because there aren't events being held, as far as I know. It's just...
here's some room decorations.
Yes. And then Annabirth posted, some new restocks. They have all the Crest keychains in. They have the little patches of the show logos.
I don't want the patches.
All the images I've seen of the patches actually look really nice for what they are.
What are the chances of Katsucon dealer room having those floating around?
See, something like that, I wonder if it'd just be cheaper and easier just to do, like, buy years or from Japan and just order some from the online store.
There's also kind of, like, the satisfaction of wandering around. There's a Digimon thing.
No, I agree. And then card photos. So a number of photo of a filming spot at the Japan Finals. Meguro takes a photo of him and Chiba at one of the host sections. And then Chiba taking a photo of Meguro when they were recording Card Room, and he notes Meguro had devolved into Meguromon Yogibo mode. Yogibo is a manufacturer of beanbag chairs, which you can clearly see Meguro resting on in the photo.
See, this is what happens when you have too many care mistakes.
Yes. And then the card art, that Arisa face. Sam the Clown revealed its terrifying ability to rewrite cards, but turns out there was rigorous instruction from its taskmaster, Wormmon. But it shows it redrawing the card with a crayon. And Wormmon is demanding the colors be improved.
It's like, no, make me cooler.
And then art from Usagi Bochi for Cool Boy's birthday, which is the same date as your birthday. And you know what the funny part about that was, Dev? You going...
I forgot it twice?
No, it's that you going... okay, we have the same birthday. I can cosplay as him, but I need to get the glasses. And I don't think you noticed that he drew him without the glasses.
I did not.
To be fair, it looks so much like Cool Boy, it's very easy to, like, ignore that the glasses are not there.
Also, I'm usually, like, speed scrolling by on my phone, and my dyslexic ass just like, well, I can insert numbers and letters. Why not just an entire pair of glasses?
Yeah. Then Tomo 01 drew art of Yao Qinglong and mentioned that you can now read Digimon Liberator on Picomo, which is a comic reading app in Japan. This is happy for them because, more people can see it who maybe don't know much about Digimon, which they find awesome, and they'll continue to do their best. And because, they draw various promo images, cover stuff, and so forth. And then, chat, it's time for questions. So if you guys have any, toss yours up. And then ones that were sent in ahead of time. Diego said, what is a Digimon crossover we'd like to see with another franchise? Their example was in the crossover Kamen Rider with whatever that season's gadget is shaped like Agumon slamming into the belt.
Hmm.
So I'm trying to decide if I can top, like, slamming into a Kamen Rider belt. Hmm.
Code Geass.
Would that just be like Agumon on a pizza box?
Yes. And also a robot with wheels.
See, I was going to say something Gundam, but the amplified model kits already, like, skew very close to that.
And that would be awesome.
It would, but it feels like that one's a cheat, just because it's so close. Then Stark wants to know, if we could introduce a variant to Digimon, what would want them to be? Something where, like, a Metal Greymon or a Skull Baluchimon is their examples, where it adds, like, and they say they know Skull Baluchimon came first. Honestly, I'd want it to be something stupid, like Agumon Hikase, Terramon Assistant.
Retail Lilithmon.
Is she just gonna act like Rachel Dratch in the Target sketch on Saturday Night Live?
I have not seen that. You need to show that to me.
I will find...
I just kind of imagined her just, like, murdering customers.
I'll find one after we watch, because I remember those... I think it was Rachel Dratch anyways. But yeah.
Using her extra-long clawed gauntlet to reach things on higher shelves.
Let's see. Next question is, not including Digimon games, what games do you want to see released again or remastered or remade? I like when we can tell where the question came from, theme-wise. What's funny I'm not kidding when I say this episode actually named after Gex, because Gex is getting a remaster. Although that feels like a cheat because that's coming, and I had actually asked Dev if she wanted me to buy her the remaster of Power Stone for her birthday.
Wouldn't have time to play it, but it is appreciated.
Is it cheating to say Gex? Although I feel like AR was still on the show when that first got it, or was he a guest when that was announced? And chat like blew up, was like, "Holy shit, Gex! Gex is coming back!" I feel like that's the answer for me.
I don't think it's like a lot of the games that got like that I really like already got
I got an answer. I got a good one. Okay, so remember how I was talking about like how disappointed I was by Elite Force when it like just showed up on GOG?
Yeah.
That's what's happened to the Hexen and Heretic games, where they're just like thrown into DOSBox and they're on Steam and GOG. And it's like the 20th anniversary of Hexen and Heretic. I would hope that Night Dive's doing remasters, rebuilds of them.
No, I just thought of one.
What?
But no one's gonna know what the fuck it is. Mylon's Secret Castle that was on the
No, people know Nintendo. People know that better than you think.
I'm surprised.
I believe that was an early Angry Video Game Nerd video, so people actually do know it because of that. Now, here's what
it took years and years for my family to beat that.
Are you aware there was a Super Nintendo sequel?
Doremi Fantasy?
Yes.
I thought that was more like a rhythm game.
No, that's an actual sequel.
I think that was like... Oh, okay.
Like, the name sounds like it's going to be a music game. It actually is a... it is an actual platformer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From, like, the screenshots I saw of it, like, years back, it's just like, okay, so it has, like, the same character, but it has the same game.
There are music elements. It is more of a normal platformer, though. Rather than, if I remember Mylon's, it's more of an annoying platformer.
It is definitely a very annoying game. It is
exceptionally
frustrating, but I enjoy it. Better it's just nostalgia.
Sark mentioned that he knowed because he saw the Nintendo Powers as a kid. I read so many Nintendo Powers. Let's see what's up next for questions. I keep hearing people mention in Digimon Adventure Beyond we'll see the reunion with the Digimon, but I can't find any mention of that help. I've seen many people mention that also, and as far as I can tell, that's not actually in any of the text announcements. It's just something that someone said at some point, and then people started repeating them.
Like,
And for what's going to be a 3 or 4 minute video, I'm not sure I expect like a grand reunion. I wouldn't be shocked if it's just years later, and they're just there. Now, this next one, I assume this is a tying question to the Super Bowl, which is someone saying, what is the best chip and dip, also drinks to have them with? So my chip and dip, for me, it's one of two things. It's either tortilla chips with just some normal red tomato salsa, like medium or hot. I also do love Ruffled chips, Ruffle or other brand, with onion dip.
That one is mine. Just like hers Ruffle chips with onion dip. Because that's like a nice crunch. It picks up a good amount of the dip. But I usually only have it like once in a super rare if I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah, that happens to me also. Like, I really like it. I don't have it that often. Like, maybe 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Where it's just like you're going by. It's like, oh, that seems like something nice to have.
Yeah, you know, grabbing a whole thing of sour cream. Getting the Lipton soup mix.
Thankfully, here we have a local brand that does like a nice pre-made one.
Oh no,
comes in very tiny ones.
There are companies that do that out here, also including local places. I just happen to like it with the soup mix.
Oh, that's fair.
Let it sit for a bit, and it's pretty. I just happen to like the texture and taste. Yeah, in chat they're arguing. I see someone saying Tostitos scoops with salsa. Someone saying bean dip. Lost is saying tortilla chips with queso.
Sadly, due to my digestive issues, most of those things would make me regret being alive after about an hour and a half.
Now, what is the best drink to have with chips dip? I feel like it's either just Coke, water, or tea.
Just like ginger ale.
Ginger ale, I feel like, is something I would have after.
Ginger ale for every opportunity.
Last chance for questions from chat. Then one question that was sent in ahead of time, would something like Digimon Comic work long-term? It's fun, but I'm not sure what it does for the companies involved. It is promotion. It's promotion.
Engagement.
Engagement, and it keeps people coming for that. It's sort of like all three of us said last week or 2 weeks ago for the cassette thing. It's not really getting the money for it. It's figuring out engagement stuff. Like, the actual amount they asked for was, like, 16K. That's nothing. But, yeah, it is engagement. It keeps people interested during downtime. It keeps people going to the website.
It also gauges, like, hey, should we do more of this stuff? Like, people putting their money where their mouth is.
And here's the thing. It's not like they're doing a ton of them. We get, like, 5 comics every 3 months, I think, roughly. Does that sound right?
Yeah, like quarterly.
Yeah. And at some point, they may decide to sell collections. And remember, they've been doing physical versions for promotional giveaways. I guarantee you people, you know, if you go to the card booth at an event and you have to do X, Y, and Z to get it, they get some sort of information out of you, and then you get the book and everyone's happy. Let's see, I think that's it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Considering I think Local Team 1, because of all the explosions outside that thankfully my headphones are hopefully muffling, go for Crossmon.
Your team did win, although weirdly the Chiefs looked like they came back a little bit. And when I looked at it at Google, there's all sorts of explosions on the page. And I'm glad there were not sound effects for that, because I was not expecting the on-page Google fireworks.
Thankfully, I'm on mobile, so it does not show me jack shit.
Or it cached the old version, and it has not done it. I can be found at With the Will as always. I'm looking forward to the next month and a half or so, because it feels like we're about to get stuff announced. I don't know what. It may very well just be at Digimon Con, you know, Digimon Beyond. Doesn't it feel like we're right on the cusp, though, Dev, timing-wise?
Yeah, and also looking forward to next week because potentially KatsuCon, but my area might get like 9 inches of snow the day before, so I might literally be stuck here.
Ooh.
In Philly.
Well, if we do that, maybe we'll play a game or something.
Yeah, sounds good. Because I have the days off from work.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot you scheduled that out a while ago.
Yeah, by like several months.
Ugh. Okay, well, we'll see what comes up. Worst case, I will just send you more stupid videos, which I do anyways.
I am okay with this.
So, thank you, Owen, for showing up. Have a good night, and we will probably back to our normal Monday in a few weeks. Bye.
Bye.